I'll try it one more time. We got to have some response out here. Let's go. Good morning, everybody. That was all right, but I'm going to try it even again. Good morning, everybody. All right. Here's how this works. First of all, welcome to Eagles Way. We can open that back door and start herding new folks in. Welcome to Eagles Way this morning. You are in a good spot. Good things are going to happen. I know it. I know it because I woke up believing it, okay? Here's what I want you to do. When I ask you, when I tell you good morning, you respond back to me. I'm doing that for a reason this morning as we go into praise and worship, because praise and worship, the elevation of that is dependent upon you. Whatever you put into it is what it becomes. I can tell you this right now, that these folks here have prepared, and when they do their praise and worship through the music, they're in sync and they're connected, all right? Now, here's one of my pet peeves when I have praise and worship, because I'm an observer. I look around, okay? I do sometimes. What I want you to know is this. Listen, the very idea of music should get us excited, okay? Just the idea of music. When you hear music, you tap your feet, you start to sway a little bit, you move a little bit. Don't be afraid to do that in here. Don't be afraid to do that. Clap your hands, raise your hands, sing the words, cheer these folks on. This first part of this service is praise and worship. They go together. But for it to happen, we have to be the ones that do it. We have to be the ones that do it. So I want to ask you this morning, again, welcome, but I want to ask you to join in with these guys. Get excited about the music. Get excited about how good you got it, because God has blessed you, right? God has blessed you, right? Oh, boy. God has blessed you, right? Now we're talking, okay? Praise and worship. Welcome.
Stand with us.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you come, for all that you've done and all that you'll do? My heart pours out, thank you. You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in your splendor and change. Cross that you bore. My heart pours out. My soul. My heart pours out. This thankful song. You don't have to come.
place in my life. I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. Longing to have more of you. And I can feel that my heart is convinced. I'm thirsty, my soul. Wild. just a flame. Your love is light, and all the world will see. All the world will see. You don't give your heart pieces. Thank you.
secure, not being broken, not being fractured. Always being present, honoring what's sacred. Thank you, God, for making us whole and for giving us your Spirit and allowing us to be completely covered by you. We love you so much and we praise you this morning.
That's real exciting to me because I began preparing this week a message that in the middle of it, God just turned it all around and it made it all about love. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is how love is the key ingredient to everything, everything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, "Let love be your highest goal." Let love be your highest goal. It's saying a lot, isn't it? How many know love will get you through anything and everything? God so loved the world. That's why he gave his son. He wouldn't have given his son if he didn't love us. He wouldn't have done what he did for us if he didn't love us. You can tell how much a person loves by how much they give. You can tell how much they love you by how much they give you. You can tell how much they care by how much they care for you. You can tell how much they want to be with you because of how much they are with you. You can tell how much they really, really, really want to spend time with you because they spend a lot of time with you. And so love is and should be our highest goal. And we're going to come back at the end of this message, and we're going to talk, having them sing that song again, and I want it to become just a real reflective time for us to check out our love gauge and check out, you know, how much gas we got in that gauge. You know, you have a gauge on our car, and it lets you know when you're running out of gas, and you pull into a service station, and you get it filled up. Well, every now and then, your love tank needs to be filled up. How many know that? Your love tank ever got a little low? Yeah. Thank you for being honest. You ever felt like the love tank was getting a little low? Then you got to go fill it up. And what I want to share with you this morning is how to fill it up. But I want to read our text that we've used for this year on being. I gave Jason a lengthy section of it, but I'm just going to share some of that. But in Acts chapter 17, begin reading at 22, Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines and one of your altars that had this inscription on it, 'To the unknown God.'" And there's still today, in many places, an unknown God. That I like one of the phrases on, I think the song before that song was, "I put you in boxes, you know, come and take you out of the boxes I put you in." How many know sometimes we box God in? He's a lot more than that. "This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He gives himself life, gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall and determine their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. And he goes on to say that some laughed at that. Some procrastinated and said, we'll hear about this later. And some believed and was joined to them and found out that all that he was saying was so true. I had a conversation. Existence in our being is a being of hope and purpose and joy. Some people just exist. They go through life just reacting to all the things they go through or happens to them. It's a haphazard lifestyle. See, we can either exist in God being in Him, or we can exist without God and being in Him. And I assure you that if you're in God, existing, being in Him, then whatever you go through, whatever happens in your life, you'll respond to it and not react to it. Reaction comes suddenly. We react like this. We respond by taking a deep breath and evaluating the situation and thinking about it a little bit, and think about before you say something. Don't speak before you think about it. Anybody ever heard somebody say they don't think before they speak? I've heard that so much. People don't think before they speak. And then after a while, they go, I wish I had thought about that before I spoke that. And I've done that many times in my life. I didn't pause and think before I spoke. I was in a conversation this week, and been a lot of things going on in our life in the last week. And let me just say something. You know, Eagles Way Church became, the name Eagles Way came about 25 years ago. We changed our name from New Life to Eagles Way. And we did that because we wanted to have the perspective of an eagle. And so we did a big billboard. It said Eagles Way Church, a church with a positive perspective. We didn't just get positive in the last couple of years, folks. We've been this way a long, long time. And God gave us the idea that we should look at things always in a positive way. And in this conversation with this person, they said to me, I'm a realist. I'm not an optimist, and I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. And I just thought about that for a week now. I pondered on that. And how many has ever heard people say that? I'm a realist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. Everybody's a realist. Everybody's a realist. I don't know of a person who's not a realist. If something happens to you, it's real. If you feel joy, it's real. If you feel sadness, it's real. Being a realist simply means, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the reality that's in front of you? Are you going to approach it in a positive way or a negative way? That's realist. You all are realists. We all live in a real world. We all live in a world that has all its different trials and testings. We have trials. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testings, for the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Peter said, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. And I just got to thinking about trials and how we go through. You know, I've talked to my brother-in-law more in the last 2 weeks, and I've talked to him in 20 years. And he lost his wife of 42 years. And they had a wonderful marriage, loved each other deeply. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he has his good moments and has his bad moments. He's up and he's down. But he's got God in his life. He's got Christ in his life. He has the Holy Spirit in his life. And he can handle this a whole lot better because of that. His reality, his wife died. His reality, it hurts really deep. He was telling me yesterday in tears how he just had to sell the bedroom suit. He said, I just can't walk in that bedroom and see that bedroom suit. And I told him, Randall, that's one of the best decisions you may ever make. That's a good decision. I said, you know, you spend 1/3 of your life in that room. You spend 1/3 of your life in that room. And you spent 1/3 of your life with your wife in that room. It's okay. It's okay. And he's hurting. But the reality of it is, he's going to get through it. I was thinking about trials. I was thinking about all the, you know, as I go in life, challenges change. Challenges, you know, there are people who have trials that I'm not having. There are people who have had difficulties that I haven't had. And I've had difficulties that you haven't had. And you've, here today, I guarantee you, All of us here have had our trials. We've had our difficulties. We've had our challenges that's come to us. I think about sickness. What's a trial of sickness that comes our way? A trial of money. You know, there are people who have lacked money all of their life. You know, there are people who's been poor all their life. You know, there are people who've lived in really sad, sad situations all their life. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Hardships, death, abuse. I mean, we could go on and on about the different trials and testings that come our way. Somebody really upsets us. Somebody says something to us that really upsets us. Those are trials and testings that we go through. But you know, I've seen some of the poorest people on the face of the earth who live and move and have their being in God. They have hope. They have love. They have purpose. You know why? Because they're in God. And they don't let their situation determine their joy. They don't let their situation determine how they're going to live. And I've seen people who have real physical disabilities, and yet they're not bitter, yet they live and they move and they have their being in God. And they can exude this joy. I've told you, I think, the story before. I want to... Worst hospital trips I ever had to make was a young man that somebody in the congregation asked me to go see. He worked for a railroad company, and he was hanging on the side of one of the carts, and it was slowing down, and he jumped off to do what he was going to do. And when he did, he stumbled and fell, and the train ran over and cut both the legs off, severed both legs. And I'm going all the way to Atlanta, and all the way down the hospital hall. I'll tell you what, I was dreading walking in that room with a man who just had two legs severed. What do you say? What do you say? And I'll never forget walking in and him sitting up in the bed with a positive book in his hand and a positive smile on his face. And instead of me ministering to him, he ministered to me. And how the reality was, he lost both legs. Also, the reality was, he looked at it in a positive way, I'm alive. I'm alive. And he was very upbeat. And we've seen the stories. We've seen books written with people who went through situations, and they went through it moving and having their being in God. They move with it and still purpose and still hope. I also look at 1 Corinthians 13 there's five words you're going to hear today, and we're going to end with five real critical words. And if you're taking notes, write these words down, because these are five words. I love our five words about being, and we're going to stay on the grasp aspect of it. But here's five words you need in your walk: faith, hope, and love, and grace and mercy. Faith, hope, and love, grace and mercy. And love is the hinge, if you will, that faith and hope swing on and that grace and mercy swing on. Because I'm telling you, if you don't have love, you really can't have faith. If you don't have love, you can't have hope. If you don't have love, you really can't have grace. If you don't have love, you really can't show mercy. And so Paul, you know, sometimes at weddings we read this and we quote this a lot. It's one of the most read scriptures probably in Christendom. How many times we put it up on the screen. I mean, you sat down there going, oh boy, seen that scripture before. I've even memorized that scripture. But let's take a moment. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Not that those things aren't important. It says that there's something more important that's going to last forever. Then it goes on and says, really, there's three things that's going to last forever, and that's faith, hope, and love. That's what love is. Now, this love is a Greek word called agape. And all through my Christian walk, I've taught it, I've preached it, I've heard it taught, I've heard it preached. It's got several meanings to it. Probably the biggest meaning of agape love is sacrificial love. It's the love that really goes the extra mile and the extra mile and the extra mile. It's a love that you don't start out with. It's a love you grow into. And say that again because it's true. You don't start out with agape love. Jesus asked Peter one time, Peter, you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, but he used the word filial love. He said, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. You know I really care about you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? And Jesus was saying, you agape me? And Peter was saying, Lord, you know I filial you. You see, Jesus was, he knew Peter's heart, and he knew what he was really saying to him. He was saying, I'm really fond of you. But you know what happened to Peter? Peter went from filial love to agape love. He went to the love when they said, we're going to crucify you. He said, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Agape. When I first saw Barbara, I was fond of her. I had a filial love for her. I had a eros love, an erotic love for her. I really thought she was pretty. And I still do. And my first connection with her was not this agape love. There was no agape in it. It was flesh, lust, anything else. It was not agape love, but it grew into. But I look, besides it being sacrificial love, agape comes from two words, agape and pay. Aga means led like a shepherd. Pay means rest by the still waters. For it's at the still waters that I see who I really am. And when the waters are not stilled, the reflection is distorted. And when there's not peace in my life, things are distorted. Things are distorted. Because love could bring a stillness and a peace in your life. And that's why he says he leads his sheep by the still waters so they can drink from calmness and peace. And isn't that what we really need and what we really want in our life? Is this calmness and this peace? Well, you got to grow into this agape love. Now let me tell you some steps to get to it, because there are some steps to get to it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that God has given us his divine nature to help us to save us from the corruption that's in this world. He said, now you need to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness self-control, and self-control kindness, and kindness perseverance, and on and on. And then he said, and love. See, some people try to start out with agape love, and you can't do that. You got to start out with faith. You got to believe it. You got to show kindness. You got to show, you got to be patient. You got to persevere. It's not something that just happens. You grow into it. And then it becomes this wonderful thing called agape love. Love is what gives faith, and hope is passion. You know, the Bible says faith worketh by love. You can't have faith. You won't work but by love. A man came to Jesus one time and said, Jesus, would you come? My servant is at home sick. Would you do something about that? And he says, I'll come and heal him. He says, you don't have to come and heal him. I know who you are. You're a man in authority. All you got to do is speak the word and he'll be healed. Now, what healed the servant? His love that came to Jesus because he wanted his servant healed. The Syrophoenician woman who came to Christ because of her daughter, what healed her daughter? Her faith? Her love. Her love, what brought her to Christ. Her love is what brought her to the source that was going to give her the strength that she needed and see her daughter healed. It's love that's got to be motivating us all the time. And that gives us faith. You said something to me a couple of years ago, Donnie, and you said that faith isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. And that's when we have faith to believe, then the seeing follows after that. But hope is expecting the best. Seeing is seeing what you don't see it, but you believe it, and in your believing you see it. And in hope, you expect the very best to come. But what pushes that is love. And then these other two words, grace and mercy. If I ask you, what is grace? Most of you would know the answer. You'd say it's God's unmerited favor, right? It's God's unmerited favor to me. Grace is God's unmerited favor. All right? Most of the time, we take that only in the context of his unmerited favor to me. Well, if I'm a Christian and I'm Christ-like and God is in me, guess what I'm supposed to do to other people? Give them unmerited faith, unmerited favor. Uh-huh. They don't deserve it. That's what it's about. No, they don't. Did we deserve it? He said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works that any man should boast. He showed us an unmerited favor so that we can look at people unreserving of our love, and we give them unmerited favor. Oh no, you gotta prove yourself, or I'm gonna give you unmerited favor. Really? Really? Is that how it works? No? It don't work like that. You give unreserved, undeserved favor. Because that's what God did for you. Last night, Jet came up to me and said, Gaga, Anna broke your little light. That it's a pointer, you know, it's got a little red thing. I've used it a couple of times in services. He said, Anna broke your light. I said, really? He said, yeah. I went and said, Anna, come here. I said, it's okay. I said, no big deal. Did you break that light? Anna said, no, Jet broke that light. And Jet said, I'm sorry. You know why he was able to so immediately own up to it? He knew he's clear. He saw undeserved favor given to Anna that I thought she broke it. But when he saw that, he just went, I'm sorry. I know Jet. If had he not seen me show her that, he would have said, I didn't break it. Because they don't want wrath. They don't want pain. They're like anybody else. They want love. That's all they want is love. I had Jet and John Henry one night by myself. First time I ever had Jet all night by myself. I ain't fighting no battles. Strawberry, vanilla, chocolate ice cream, 15 times you want it, if as long as you just stay quiet. As long as you don't give me no problems, I'll give you all the ice cream you want. You say, that's bad parenting. I know it's good grandparenting. And it's smart grandparenting. And when you're all alone, and I'm not going to fight them battles. You don't want to go to bed? Fine with me. You'll go to bed when you get tired. You'll go to sleep when you get sleepy. They coming home tomorrow. The Calvary's coming in tomorrow. No sense in me fighting these battles. All you're going to get is undeserved, unmerited favor from me. Love you. Love, love, love. That's all you're going to get. Not going to be irritable with you. Not going to be impatient with you. What do you want? You got it. You got it. That's what God said for you. I'm just going to give it to you. You don't deserve it. And as soon as Jet saw that I wasn't going to show wrath and I was going to show love, he said, sorry. It's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance. It's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance. I want to close with this scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. And it's about giving, but I want you to see the giving. You know, we've talked about giving. We've talked about giving our tithe, giving our time, giving our talents. That's all great giving. But there's more to giving than that. It's giving our love. It's giving our grace. It's giving our mercy. It's giving our faith. It's giving our hope. And this, I want you to, when I read this script, I want you to look at it in that light. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, when you see the word generous, generous doesn't just mean the amount, which it does mean the amount, but generous also means how you do it and the attitude that you do it. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scriptures say. They share freely and give generously to the poor, and their deeds will be remembered forever. For the God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat, in the same way he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. As the band's coming, I want to read this to you in another translation. And it's really a Greek rendering. This, David spoke these words. David spoke these words to in one of his psalms. And so this was a quote out of the Old Testament that they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Now, when you think about poor, I don't want you to think about just they don't have anything. I don't want you to think about money. Some people are poor in other ways. Some people are poor in strength. Some people are poor in motivation. Some people are poor in a lot of different areas of their life. And so when you think about giving to them, giving love and giving these different things, this is what the literal Greek translation says will happen to you. He says, if you do this, these good deeds, they'll be remembered forever. Wow. A woman walked into a room, and Jesus was reclining at a table, having dinner and fellowshipping with a group of people. And she came in with an alabaster box, her life savings, that she was going to sell when she got married and give them a real launching of their marriage. And she broke open that alabaster box and poured the perfume, anointing him for his burial. How many know that to this day, that's been known forever? Forever. How many know that you're going to have some challenges the days to come? Going to have some challenges. There's some people here who are having some real tough challenges. In different stages of life, we have different challenges. We can still be positive, still be upbeat, we can still get through them. If I will, in my times, that I can do it, one scripture says, as long as it's in your power to do good, do it. And no matter what challenges we go through in life, here's the Greek rendering of that verse. Those who give generously will be remembered forever. His good deeds will consistently triumph even in challenging times. I used to not pray these kind of prayers over people, but I pray them a lot now. If I'm praying over somebody who's going through a difficult time, I remind the Lord. I remind the Lord. Lord, you remember those good things he did? You remember those good things she did? You remember all the times they've helped and served other people? You remember all those times, Lord? You remember those times? The Bible says, put me in remembrance. God said that, put me in remembrance. I don't hesitate. I don't hesitate. When my friend Mike's going through what he's going through and another situation happened to me, you know what I did? I walked up. I was walking in my living room and I said, God, I'm just going to put it in poker language. I got some chips I can call in. I got some chips I can call in, and I'm calling in some chips. I've done a lot for you, and I want you to do some things for me. I don't mind praying those kind of prayers. I'm not demanding. I'm just putting him in remembrance. I'm not saying it's about my good works is going to save me, but my good works may save somebody else. Come on, help me preach. My good works may not save me, but I guarantee it may save somebody else. Because if I can do good to you, then it could bring you out of a situation. If I can do good to other people, it could bring them out of a situation. No, it's not going to save me, but it may save somebody else. And it has saved a lot of people because somebody took time to tell somebody they love them, to tell somebody they have hope, to tell somebody they can be lifted up, to tell somebody you can come out of this. Then you can be the savior of their life and see them come out of that because you're showing them the goodness and the kindness of God. And so every so often I say, oh, I've done some good things, Lord. I've done some good things. My wife had breast cancer. I got down on my knees and I looked at her and I said, you're not going to die. I said, nah, this is not going to happen. And I said, right now, Lord, I'm calling in some chips. I've done some good stuff for you. I've been a good boy for you. I ain't been perfect, but I've been a good boy for you. Come on. Come on. But I tell you what, if Will Doss has helped me in so many things, he calls me and asks me that. Why do you think I'm going to help? Why do you think I'm going to? Sure, because he's done so many good things for me. He asked me to do something. You better believe it. Keith asked me to do it. Yes, I'm going to do it. Not even hesitate. My gosh, they've done it for me. Billy, what about go to walk through hell for you? You've done all these good things for my family and my life. Whatever you want, all you got to do is call and ask me. I'll be there in a moment, not out of hesitation. Why? Because you have done so much for me. Come on, you owe it to some people. I've said everything up to right now to just preach for a minute. I owe my wife love. I owe her. I owe her. I owe you. I owe you. That's what, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, Lord, for not paying our debts as we ought to pay our debt of love. And we've all failed in that debt of love sometime, but you need to try to pay that debt of love, because let me tell you something, you owe a debt of love to everybody that's around you. You owe a debt. Paul said, owe no man nothing but to love him. I'll always owe a debt to you, Joe. I'll always owe a debt to you. I'm in a debt of love to you. A debt of love that I, you know what I do? What I have to do? I can't pay it off in full. So I just got to keep making payments. I get a debit book every month from y'all. I just keep tearing out the pages. The more, every time I take a coupon and pay it, guess what? They send me more coupons, Keith. I know we ought to be debt-free, and thank God we can get there, but I got a book. I got to pay this thing the rest of my life. I'll never pay it up. I never pay this debt, but I just keep making the monthly payments. Amen? Just keep making the payments. Feels good to make that payment, don't it? I don't like that. I suppose I don't pay bills. I don't like debit books. Especially them kind. But I like the debit book in my heart. I like that debit book. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this song. And I want you to reflect. I like these new songs we've been singing. I know they're not easy to sing because they're wordy. But they're good. And we're getting a lot out of it. So don't think because it's wordy and it's kind of difficult maybe to worship sometimes like you want to worship. But I'm telling you, this is good stuff. us. Would you reflect on these words? See these words as what they're saying.
I'd like to open up the front, if you will. Come down and stand together, maybe hold somebody's hand or put your arm around someone or just sit where you are and rest or take a knee up here and see the fire in his eyes and the mercy in his smile and the fury in his love. Unrestrained, your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It isn't shy. Sun is shade. Your love is proud to be seen with me. Thank you.
And I just want to encourage you, don't ever lose it. And if you do, get it back. The Bible says love can wax cold. Look at Revelation. It says when you've left your first love, then go back to it. And he says you go back to it by going back and doing the works you were doing when you had it the first time. And I just want to challenge every person here is when your love begins to wane and wax in a relationship, marriage, and your church, your friends, just start doing some things that will fan that love and it will come back. It's always there. It just gets buried sometimes beneath all the stuff in the world. A lot of stuff can just push love down, but then it can just always spring back up. That's one thing I love about love. It can grow. It can triumph over anything. It can overcome anything. It's the most important factor in life. We can't overuse the word. We can't say, I love you too much. We can't tell God we love him too much. We just can't overuse that word. And there's nothing in this world that's better than feeling love from your wife or your husband or a friend or somebody that maybe you don't even really know, and yet you felt love from them. It's the most powerful force in the world. It's what keeps us together. It's what keeps us strong. It's what makes everything worthwhile. Nothing else matters if love is gone. You can be a gazillionaire in a home with no love, and you're an unhappy camper. You're a miserable person when that love's been pressed down. But it can come back. It really can. And I just encourage you, just go do some good stuff. If you love failing, feel like, go do something for them. Amen? Just go. If you're not loving me like you ought to love me, just go buy me something. Bring it to me. Just say, here, beer, and just want to do a good deed. Just do something good for me. You'll be amazed at the love that will just overflow in your heart. Just be amazed at it. Seriously, though, it works. You can't give to somebody not love them. Amen? Good stuff. And it keeps on going. Keeps on going. Well,
you may be seated. If you have your connection card, make sure that you filled it out. If you're visiting with us for the first time, you can drop it in the bucket. And if you're a member, we expect you to drop one in the bucket as it comes by, so we have record of your visit and any communication you would like to do with us. We use that connection card for that and appreciate that. Ellie, are you in here? Will you stand up real quick? Ellie has taken a new position within our community, and she's going to be at the information booth. She has information today about a soccer camp, but she's going to be working with a mentor program within our community, working with the school system and several different organizations and businesses. So if you don't know Ellie, you need to get to know Ellie. She's great. But she will be out there. Thank you for standing. And that information is there. I got a text just as service was starting, reminding me, which is awesome, that for the next 10 days, we would like for you to be praying for our own Liz Norris. She is leaving today for Greece. She will be counseling. She's now a certified counselor. She will be counseling Syrian refugees for the next 10 days. And so working with them. And so keep her in your prayers. Many of you have prayed for her on different various mission trips that she has been on. But it's awesome what she's doing. Don't forget, August 28th is a Sunday, and we are going to be, more information is coming. There will be sign-up sheets, hopefully starting next Sunday, for different areas that you can get involved, that we are serving our community. The way that we are doing that is the families of our police officers and our fire and rescue, we are going to be giving them a free meal out at City Park. So we have no idea at this point in time how many will be coming, but we are going to be giving them the opportunity to pick up free tickets, and it'll be a family time. So it'll be a free meal for you also if you come to help, to serve, and to be a part of that. So mark your calendars for that. Very, very, very important. God's a good God, isn't he? You can go ahead and begin passing our offering buckets out. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness allows us to touch people's lives. We had 15 of us out yesterday at Turner Street Park. I had not even seen Turner Street Park before. If you drive between 12th and 13th Street over close to Dundee softball fields, you have to, I mean, it's in between a couple, I mean, you really have to, you could drive right by it and not ever see it. But there was about 700 people that came out, and working with Rushton Hope, received a hamburger and a hot dog, and we had a team that were cooking those, a team that was serving those. We had a team working in the prayer tent. We had several that were in the bubble stations and the different games they were giving away, but the gospel was presented, but the biggest thing with love was provided for every person that was there. It was really cool, so thank you for those that are doing it. All of those funds that you give to go to alms help to cover those expenses of what we do with serving food and different things within our community. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, we can worship you and we can receive from you. Lord, we receive your love today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that has been serving in our children's ministry. Bless them special today. Thank you, Lord, that you will take the tithes, offerings, and alms and use them for the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's leave with this last song.
Unreserved, unrestrained.